In the previous Gemara, in that long Agada we had about which mitzvot, are the source of long life, and then all types of other things, you have this strange kind of addendum. You have these two Amoroyim, Kabua Bar-Ihi and Minyamin Bar-Ihi. So I assume if you look in one of these encyclopedias, you would find out about them, but I don't know anything else about them. They both have a statement where they both say, Teitili, give me schar, because I didn't do this, because I didn't do that. Right? They didn't get involved in business with non-Jews, they never looked at Rishoyim, all these types of things. So isn't this a kind of strange statement? There are a number of places where this expression, Teitili, give me my reward, give me my schar for having done this or that mitzvah. Does it seem
to Shemayim,
right? Yeah, you know. Doesn't it seem like kind of goes against the idea that we say in Avos that Al Tiyek Avadim Meshamshim Al Manat Lekabel Pras. Right, you should serve Hashem, not in order to get reward.
And also, we don't know the rewards just as a mitzvah of any.
Well, that's a different thing. In other words, whatever they don't say, give me X amount of reward. We know that we don't know that how Hashem keeps His books, but presumably every mitzvah has a certain amount of reward to it. So they want to make sure they get whatever is coming to them.
Did these people actually live longer? So they're talking like retroactively, or
no? In other words, the earlier part of the Gemara is addressed to elderly Tanoim. And they say, hey, how did you merit such long life? In other words, they see people, look, think about it.
They
say, look, as you look at Rav Elyashiv, you look at Sternbuch, who just passed, not Rav Sternbuch, Rav, Steinman, just there, like, you know, like 100, you die at 100, they say, oi, so young, right? They're like 104, 105, and they're still going, right? They live in these teeny, like, one-bedroom little apartments, like with a mitat noir, and, they sit there all day, and they learn Gemara, and the people come, and they ask them shilas, and, right? So you see something like that, you say, gee, this must be the Arichas Yamim you heard about. So you say to these, in the Gemara, you say to these old Tanoim, B'me'arach D'yamim, what merit do you have? Like, what was your trick? Right? Well, you always see, like on TV, you always meet these people on TV, you know, they're like 150, this old woman in France, she's 115, yes, and they go, they interview, whenever the oldest person dies, the next one becomes a celebrity. They get their moment because they're not some. They go, what did you do? Well, I smoke one cigar a day, and I start every morning with a big, tumbler of gin. And so yes, the tanoim that whether the marach tiyamin. That's what they say about the queen mum. The queen mum will live to be like what, 100, 101. So she had like a tumbler of gin, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, keeps you going.
Is that the notion? I have no idea what the source of the notion is. The Torah actually wears you out.
Yes.
The Rambam says
that. That Torah study wears you out. The Torah study wears you out, yes.
Wears
you
out?
That's a Gemara. It's a Medrash that appears in a number of places.
Scientifically, it's from the opposite.
That Torah study keeps you mentally active, but not physically.
That I can... Usually don't find the average top physical shape.
Torah study, physically, I mean, it's you get hunched over, you ruin your eyesight, I mean, any eye doctor will tell you the worst thing you do for your eyes is shuckle when you learn. Because of course your eyes are constantly focusing rivers. Anyways, but they asked these Tanoim, like, what did you say? Each of them had, like, this catalog of special mitzvot that they were careful about. and that was the source of their merit. But at the end of the Gemara, there's two Amoraim that mention practices of theirs, and they demand Teitili, give me my reward.
So this,
I don't know, it doesn't sound like that, right? It sounds like Magili, which sounds a little strange. You have the Mishnah Avos, Altia Kavadim Amishabram. You have another Mishnah Avos that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai says, Im Lamanat Torah Harbei Al Tachsik Tova Latzmecha Ki Lekach Notzarta. Right? If you do, in this case, Torah study, right? Don't become a Schwitzer, because that's the reason you were created, right?
That applies to all the Amorites. When I was a kid,
I always got good grades. But there were kids in my class, they had the, you know, like if they got, like an, they got, whatever it was, for if you got an A, you got $2. If you got a B, you got $1. If you got a C, you got, you know, a smack, and if you got a D, you got punished. So I'd come home straight A's. And I'd be doing the math on the way home. You know, you have 12 subjects, straight A's, $2 each is $24. It's a lot of money in the 1970s. So my parents had none of it. I said, right. They said, that's what, lekach notzarta. That's what your job. Your job is to go to school and learn and get good grades, and you know, you don't get paid for it. It's karma mitzvah. So, but what goes around comes around. The other day my parents are here, and my 10-year-old says, Grandma gave me 20 shekel. I said, what'd she give you 20 shekel for? He said, just for being a good kid. So I said, are you crazy? She said, well, for grandparents, it's different. So David already alludes to the answer that's given by the Maharshal. The Maharshal says, no, when he says, Taitili, give me my, what reward do they want? No. Another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah. That's your interpretation, which isn't bad. In the context of the Agadah, right. So the desire for Arichat Yamim is the desire for doing more. This is what the Rabbi Soloveitchik says in the Ish Halacha about why the halachic man fears death. As opposed to the kind of conventional idea of the religious man who seeks to transcend this world to get to the great beyond, halachic man fears death, because with death comes the inability to do mitzvot, right? To be niftar means literally to be patur from mitzvot.
It's also mitzvot of this world. You don't know
in the world view of the halachic man, that's it.
Right.
In this, the mitzvot are only for this world. And why don't you go take a door and hold that open at least, the whole thing. So when they say Teitili, give me what? Give me the opportunity for another mitzvah. My wife's grandfather used to say, if you finish that soup, finish that bowl of soup, you know what you get? Another bowl of soup. All right? You do that mitzvah, you know what you get? Another mitzvah. Okay, the Mishnah says, exactly. Schar mitzvah is mitzvah goreret mitzvah, schar mitzvah mitzvah. So the Mishnah here on Kof Chero Malav says, Masnis, V'odam Rebbe Yehuda, Beit HaKnesset Shecharev, Ein Maspidin Betocho, V'ein Mafshilin Betocho Chavalim, V'ein Porsin Betocho Mitzudot, V'ein Shotchin Al Gago Perot, V'ein Osin Oto Kapandaria. Even when it's destroyed, even a destroyed synagogue, there's all types of things you can't do there. You can't have a spade in there. Why might you want to have a spade in this?
If you got an area, emotionally, we're probably being destroyed by
You should want to have then it'd be appropriate to have a
hexam. Why shouldn't you?
Yeah.
Why do you want to sue why you should? So maybe it's not honorable.
You remember the churva before the churva was banui when it was a dain charev?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the churva was the churva before it was destroyed. In other words, the churva, mm-hmm. The way we remember it, you know, before whatever it was 10, 12 years ago.
Before they ruined your wedding.
Right.
In other words, the previous synagogue was called the Churva because it had been rebuilt after having been destroyed, and then it was destroyed again. That's a nice place to have a hesped or a wedding. I had my wedding there. But the point being that, in other words, a big empty... My wedding was in the Churva when it was a Dayan Harif. But in other words, it's this kind of big open... What does it mean? Like a destroy? How does a destroyed building usually look like?
Like a shell. Just
like a shell. Right. Right. In other words, the roof was usually wood, but the walls usually remain standing. Right. So in other words, the place burns down or whatever it is, the roof caves in, then you kind of have this big empty shell. It's a handy thing to have. You know what you could do there? You could gather a lot of people. You know what else you could do there? You could you're a fisherman. You can spread a fisherman when they come back from sea. You need a big, wide open place where you can spread out the nets, untangle them, retie them, fix any tears. Right? If you're if you're a sailor, why are sailors called the Rav? Why is the captain called the Rav Chovel? Yeah, because in other words, remember Boy Scouts, all that rope tying, not tying, right? In other words, this is the kind of bread and butter. I mean, it was literally once the engine on which a ship ran, because the ropes were what controlled the sails, right? So you come back from sea, you need a big open space, like a football field, where you can lay out all the ropes to let them dry, to inspect them, to fix any tears. Right, because the last thing you want to do is go to sea with a rope that's already frayed because it'll snap. You can't go up to the roof to spread out the fruit to dry, even though a kind of big empty open space would be a good place to do that. Why can't you do these things in an empty synagogue?
Well, one of the things I'm saying about the synagogue did have kedusha. It was destroyed, so lost something, it doesn't mean it doesn't have any element of kedusha. I mean, you wouldn't think of using it as a urinal.
No, it is, but all these things are kind of a front to the kedusha, even having a spadim, because you're using, what are you using it as?
You take advantage of the faith.
Yeah, you're using it as the Rav Tachliti.
Yeah, but you have your wedding there. What's the difference in having a spadim?
So, first of all, we're not talking about halacha l'maisa.
I understand. No, but I mean,
but a wedding is not one of the things that are forbidden in a synagogue.
Also, I'm curious if historically no one ever made a hesped in the corporate.
That's a shiloh.
Upstairs at the Rav Tachlisi is not sure. That's whatever it's called.
Right.
You know, that our school of Nekel Yumos, the first pila we had there, before the village was finished, there was no roof, no scaffolding inside, and we had the kinos.
Which was kind of foreshadowing the fact that shul has had a tzav erus over a tzav since day one. The first time I dove in there, probably about 20, I think, Beth and Vladimir must have moved in like... 20 some odd years ago, and they said, yeah, this is just temporary, we're going to have to move because the road and all the while, what's his name, Rav Hon is like, you know, putting up more stone things, you know, to make it look permanent.
Nothing more permanent than something more permanent than something that's temporary.
Yeah, that sounds like a Hasidic aphorism.
Could it be the Ubuntu or Hesed and the Knesset? Because if the person that you're doing it
is we'll get to that. And also Kapandaria, the halacha of not taking a shortcut through a synagogue, even applies to the synagogue when it's destroyed. Why? What is the source for all of these stringencies in a destroyed synagogue? Shne'emar. Vahashimoti et mikdashchem. Kedushatan afkeshein shomamin. That's what it is. God says, I will make desolate your holy places. Mashma. Even when it's desolate, even when it's destroyed, it still retains its kedusha. Alubo asavim lo yitlosh. If weeds start growing up, you know, in the building, no, not in the yard, in the building itself.
In the building, what?
Yeah.
That was the building, that's right.
Yeah. Right. Right. You can't pick the weeds. You have to let it grow up. Why? Because of the agumas nefesh.
There's a problem with that.
What do you mean?
The aggravation.
And
the agumas nefesh and the kedusha.
Why?
What do you want to rebuild?
A synagogue.
Yeah. But in order to do that, you would clear out the...
I'm saying that, in other words, presumably in the act of rebuilding, you'll have to, it would be stira al manat livnot.
No, I'm not even talking about the klishat sadim. I'm talking about even just the, whatever's there, the thing has to do shat.
Yeah.
So normally you can't just like knock down walls and make it.
So
you could you would have a problem. If you have to treat the destroyed Beit Knesset with kedusha, then you can't just plow it all down to start building a new place.
Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. In other words, the earlier question we had about selling a Beit Knesset, where you can't sell the Beit Knesset because you can't sell the Beit Knesset, you can only make this lateral move. So you buy a Sefer Torah. But to sell a Beit Knesset, to rebuild a Beit Knesset, you have to start building before you start knocking down, because we're afraid that you will be negligent, you'll knock it down, and then you won't get around to...
But that's presumably building when they're building another lot.
I guess. But here, obviously, you know, like the roof falls down. We don't say you can't clear it out to put up a new roof. But you won't be surprised to hear, of course, that very sugya is the basis of an Agron story. Machloket, wait a second. Machloket in shul, there's a hole in the wall. So they come... And they, to cover up the hole, they take a board and they cover up the hole. Elama, by attaching a board to the wall to cover up the hole, they are minimizing the content, the volume of the synagogue. And that's a problem. Because, well, that's not what they did in the story. This is what they did. This causes a machloket. So what is it? So if weeds start growing there, you have to leave them so that it will cause agmat nefesh.
Oh, cool.
Right? Because people will see, oi, gavalt, look how terrible that is. Right? We better do something to rebuild it. What does this remind you of? Which famous Haggadah does this remind you of? Rabbi Akiva and the Shualim, right? And he sees the destruction, and he sees the redemption. I hear this idea that you'll see how bad it gets. People say, "Oh, Gavalt, we really have to rebuild." The Mishnah.
So, if the roof of the shul caves in, obviously, okay, you can clear out the old roof to put up a new roof, but doesn't the old roof have two sets?
We learned this Gemara, right, about the beams.
Right.
You'll check your notes. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Brisa says, Bate Knesiot ein noagin bahen kalut rosh. Ve'ein ochlin bahen, ve'ein shatin bahen, ve'ein niotin bahen. The synagogue has sanctity. You can't be frivolous in a synagogue. You can't eat or drink in a synagogue. Oops.
Hi.
Can't eat a drink. And you can't. The ain neotin behem. Rashi says neotin. The ain mit kashtin notocho. The ain mit tailin sham. You wrote about this?
I'm talking about fuel. It wasn't like a thing. It doesn't mean going along with different pipes.
Yeah.
Just walk around.
Right. So in other words, a lot of synagogues. I was in, you go to Prague, I was in Budapest last year.
Right.
So in other words, a lot of synagogues have like these other things that you go to see. They have like a sports center, and they have a museum, but you go into the sanctuary itself, right? The Chagall windows in the synagogue in Hadassah, right, is more tourist site than a synagogue. where you have to pay money to get in, right? Unless if you say no, no, I'm you go in to say, I'm not, there's windows here. I
don't look.
I'm just here to daven.
Well, if you're there for Shabbos, you can go in for free and daven.
Say it, but no, even during the week, if you go in, you say, I'm just here to daven, they don't charge you.
Again, doesn't mean Torah speak.
No,
it means like that's the Yigmar. He says you're supposed to Ochel Shotel Umitayel B'Sukkah.
Right.
Take a little walk, that's
right.
The
right.
Like a, you know, for visiting for a bit.
Right. So what does that mean? Like you can't stretch your legs? You can't...
Walking around. Mm-hmm. I guess they just...
That's even...
No loitering.
No loitering. So that's exactly what the Me'iri says. The Me'iri says, Neotan is from Lashon Navi. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't hang out there. You can't make it your residence. You can't set up, like they used to, I'm reading now, for reasons that it's not important for me to explain now, that old classic, Ish Tzadik Hayah. The biography of Rabbi Aryeh Levin, which is like, it's mamish, it's like the best Musa Sefer you can ever read. What? You just bought it?
Yeah.
You never read it?
I read it.
So it's mamish, because even if only one in every 10 stories in the book is true, it means he was the most remarkable human being in 1,000 years. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Well, it's just, it's all my fault.
I know.
Yeah.
Never
actually having a soap dish in the shower. They wouldn't let us go in there. Put it in for him. The shower is in his kitchen. Right?
Yeah.
And he has to always sit down to the floor to
pick up
the
soap.
They want to put it in the soap dish. Sure.
Right. So, it was just unbelievable. But he describes when he was a kid, he left home as a little kid because his parents were so poor they couldn't keep him at home. But if he went off to yeshiva, so you had a place to sleep. And you could get down to the Essentag, you know, where if you were lucky, you got one meal a day in somebody's house. And if you were a good learner, so you were a little, you had better options. But what does it mean you had a place to sleep? You got a bench in the base medrash. So that's what the Me'iri says that this price is saying, that you can't sleep in the synagogue. In the base medrash is different.
Now that I'm remembering this, don't worry about the sukkah. So it seems to be actually, according to the Me'iri, basically a big connector should not be like a sukkah. What do we say about the sukkah? Should be like a keva. So you have,
right.
What do you do in there? You do all
yeah,
the
you
all
should
things
right,
you do in
the
keva.
Yeah, yeah.
And here it's saying, no, the big connector should not be a keva.
Right.
All things you normally do in the keva.
Right.
You know, you have the two options.
Right.
One
right.
You drop your should
right.
Do and one you drop your shouldn't.
Right. Rashi and Shabbos says, Neotan is Milashon Noi. Milashon Hano. I know that you can't get benefit out of the synagogue aside. You use it for prayer, but you can't get other benefit. You can't use it, and that's this list of things we're about to see. If it's a hot day, you're roasting out in the sun, you can say, well, I'll just duck into the shul. Right? I mean, like, a lot of days, like, we don't have air conditioning.
The destroyed shul, not a proper shul.
No, this is a built shul.
The Gemara told me a proper shul.
Yeah, a proper shul.
Okay.
Right? In other words, in the summer, a lot of times you come back from Mincha in the afternoon, you know, that air conditioning is not good and real strong, so you have to say, I'm going to Davin. The fact that the air conditioning is not good and strong, it should not take away from my, right? And you can't, like, duck into the shul in order to get out of the rain. Ve'ein maspidin bahen. Hesped shel yachid, and you can't have hespedim in a shul for a regular person. Aval. Well, in other words, yachid might mean. Aval. Well, one second. Aval korin bahen v'shonin bahen. You can read, korin means you can read what? Torah. And shonin, you can read Mishnah. U'maspidin bahen hesped shel rabim. So Rashi says, hesped shel rabim shel talmid chacham shemet shetzrichim lehitosef ula hespedo uveit hakneset ra'ui lakach lefi shehu bayit gadol. So in other words, Yachid and Rabim doesn't mean an individual versus masses. It means, like a regular person's funeral, you go and there's how many people? But like somebody, a big Talmud Chacham dies, so you need a big space. So you can't have, the only time you can have a hesped in a synagogue is if it's for a gadol, somebody who's, you know, like the masses are going to come. Why does the Braisa have to tell you can read the Torah and you can learn Mishnayos in a synagogue?
Well, I don't know why, but I know that if you already are going into those places,
and we're
going
to come to that.
I assume that's the.
What's the Havamina?
There is some halacha about not learning in a Mishnah.
Yeah.
Maybe you can read for a bar mitzvah boy, where he goes to the Beit Knesset for like a week before his bar mitzvah, and it's not shulchan whatever, but he reads from the Sefer Torah to get used to it.
Maybe
that's what he means.
Maybe they mean during davening. If Chazal has a shot, he can't do limudei Torah, he can't learn Mishnah
Yod.
What?
That's not what it's talking about. There's a separate halacha about what you can and can't do in Chazar Shas, what you can and can't do in Kriyas Torah, none of which include reading these alonim. Right? But
okay.
What?
That's okay.
No, it's not okay. But
the rest of davening.
But no, because it's not clear that you'd be able to learn in a synagogue. Right?
Why not?
Because the synagogue is designated for prayer. And anything else, in other words, you should assume it's innocent, it's guilty until proven innocent. You should, when you're asking yourself, is this something I can or should be doing? If it's not davening, you know those flowcharts? Right, what can I do in a synagogue? Is it davening? Yes. Is it something else? Not so good. So Bryson says, you know what? We'll be makel. We'll say you can learn Mishnayos in shul. But the Havamina is that anything which is in prayer, shouldn't be, saying a hesped, a little old lady dies, right? You have, 10 people gather for the funeral. Is it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah. Is it a base mitzvah? It's a base mitzvah. Right? It's not a matter of you can only do mitzvah things in synagogue. Really the only thing you do in synagogue is daven. And we'll be, okay, we'll also let you, learn.
But if it, what's the difference between a Beit Midrash and a shul then?
That's the whole sugya. The Beit Midrash has one kind of kedusha and a synagogue has a different kind of sugya.
Yeah, but if you can learn in a Beit Knesset and you can daven in a Beit Midrash, what's the difference?
You can. We'll come to it.
Isn't it also an issue of not having a mezuzah in a Beit Knesset?
And as Lamaista, we don't do that, but in a base measure.
I think in Yavne they didn't.
In Yavne.
Because
Right.
Related to Samir Dira, it's only
I think so, yeah. Because there's no Dira there, there's no... Omer B'Yehuda, Eimatai, when do these halachot apply? Be'yishuvan, when the synagogue is erect. Aval Bechurbanan, but when the synagogue is destroyed, menichin otan ve'olin bahen asavin ve'lo yitlosh mipnei agmat nefesh. Well, in other words, now the Gemara says, asavin man dakashmayu. Why are you talking about asavin? In other words, the Braisa lists all the types of things that you're not allowed to do in a synagogue which is standing. And then Rabbi Yehuda says, all the things that you're allowed to do in a synagogue while standing. But no, the Braisa lists all the types of things that you're not allowed to do in a synagogue. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, those things that you're not allowed to do in a synagogue, that's when it's standing. But when it is destroyed, if the grass grows, so you have to leave it.
So why would grass be going in there?
Ah, so the Gemara says Asavin Madakashmayu, right? Chasure Mechsere V'Hachi Ketani. No. There's something missing here from the Braisa. The Braisa should be saying, right? Because it doesn't talk about what to do with what if grass grows in a synagogue while it's built. How does grass grow in a synagogue when it's built? They're floors. So, in other words, his response is to something it's said about grass growing in a synagogue which is built. Right, but that part was left out of the brisa. This is the part that's left out of the brisa. Umarbitzino tan kedei shelo yalu bahenasavin. You have to sweep and it sounds strange. You have to water the floor so the grass won't grow. Now, what do they do with dirt floors?
To harden it, they put water.
They would sprinkle water down on it.
And
then they would press down on it. They would like, they had like, not a rake exactly, but it probably was a thing that like stamped down on it so that the, like a roller, so that the earth would be hard and compact. When the earth is hard and compact, besides being less messy, the grass doesn't grow there. Right? So in other words, when the synagogue is erect, so then you have to take care of the floor to make sure that no grass grows, right? When the synagogue is destroyed, you have to let the grass grow because that will be the sign to people to remind them, oi, we better do something. Omer Yehuda Ematai B'Yishuvan Ava B'Churbanan Menichin Otola Alot Alu Behem Asavim Lo Yitlosh Mipnei Agmat Nefesh Omer B'Asi Bate Knesiot Shebevavel Al Tanai Hein Asuyin. The synagogues in Bavel are built conditionally. You see, Rashi says Al Tanai Al Menat Sheyishdam Shubahin. Right, like what we do. You build a synagogue, you say it's a Rav Tachliti. You say we can also have a bar mitzvah here. You say we also have a Purim spiel here. You also say whatever it is. But nevertheless, even if you make a tnai, when you say it's a Rav Tachliti, that doesn't mean anything goes. Right? What does it mean? You still have to be respectful in the place. That's what that first year, the Inzai, when we had when there was the Purim spiel here on that first Purim. The first Purim in the building. No, here in this building, yeah. Yeah. The first Purim in this building, there was a Purim spiel in the main sanctuary. And there was a bit of a macho about this. Right? Because how do you I don't know. I mean, bar mitzvah is a tzudas mitzvah. It's true that there are things that take place there that you probably didn't happen at, you know, Rabbi Levin's bar mitzvah. So he didn't actually says that he went off to Slotsk, or he went to whatever town it was to go learn yeshiva. It was in all variety of places. He went to Volozhin. He showed up in Volozhin. He was too young. So Rafael Shapiro said, I'm sorry, we can't take you, you're too young. So he burst out crying. Like tears were rolling because he stowed away in a train, like hiding under the bench because he had no money to get there. And now they say, we can't take you. So they gave him money and they gave him a letter and they sent him off to Yeshiva Katana, whatever it was, to go learn. But anyway, so he's in one of these towns and he's by one of his relatives. And one of his relatives is like uncle or his whoever it is says to him, wait, what year is this? He says, you know, you're bar mitzvah. So Barry says, really? Quick, give me tefillin. So he puts on tefillin. So he like, he says, the only nafkamina was every day I had to borrow somebody's tefillin because he didn't have his own tefillin. He had to borrow somebody's tefillin to put on tefillin. And then he saved up like, every kopeck to get a... So my new, so what kind of kalos rosh can't you have in a? Bakasha. Man. Yeah. So that was it. So anyway, so what kind of Kalas Rosh can't say? Even in a synagogue built on Sinai, you can't have Kalas Rosh. What kind of Kalas Rosh? Cheshbonot. What is a cheshbonot? Cheshbonis?
Money.
To sit and go over the, you know, like that Sifak Falit every year? Where they sit and they go over the cheshbonot? You shouldn't do that in the shul. You should do it in the boardroom. Like in America, the shuls had boardrooms. Omer Ravasi. Mazadav. Omer Ravasi. Beit HaKnesset Shemachshvin Bo Cheshbonot Malim Bo Et HaMet. You do the Cheshbonot in the synagogue soon enough. It'll be a morgue. It'll be the place where you are using it to let the corpse hang out before the burial. Malinin Salkadatcha, really? You think they're gonna turn it into a morgue? Lo Sagi de Lavochi? Does that really have to be so bad? Ella? La Sof Shialinu Bo Meit Mitzvah. Right? In other words, there'll be people, it'll destroy the community. Right? No one will have anybody to take care of them. So all the Meis Mitzvah, who's the Meis Mitzvah? Meis Mitzvah is somebody who's got no mishpacha, he's got nobody to take care of him. So they'll have to hang out in the shul. That's it. What? No, because the boardroom doesn't have the sanctity of the sanctuary. Oh, that's something else. There's all types of ways that a community can destroy itself. So what does that mean? Omer Rava, Chachamim v'Talmidehen Mutarin. All these things to live in the shul and to hang out in the shul and to. But however, that halacha does not apply to Talmidei Chachamim. Omer Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, my Bei Rabbanan, Beita de Rabbanan. In other words, the Beit Midrash is the house. Their house. So in other words, here he applies the Gemara applies this halacha to on this word Niutan Bahen, which is the Beit Knesset, right? But apparently if you are in the synagogue, you know there and you're learning and you're kind of making it your home, you kind of get a leniency to, like, it's not reasonable to expect people who are all day long in the synagogue learning and davening that they can't have a drink, that they can't even put their head down. So that's the kind of leniency you get for, you know, being dedicated. Omarava chachamim v'tamidei ve'ein nichnasin bahem b'chama mipnei chama v'gshamim mipnei gshamim. You can't use the shul to hide from inclement weather. Ki hadiravina v'rav ada bar matna havakaimei v'shaalei shi'ilta mirava. They were standing outside talking, asking a shaila from Rava, learning a halacha from Rava. Ata zilcha demitra. And there was a sudden downpour. Hayale levei kenishta. So they went up into the shul. Omri, right, knows what's the problem? The Brisa says you can't do it. The exact thing the Brisa says you can't do, we have his eyewitness testimony. We have this eyewitness testimony of the Zamoroyim doing exactly that. So how could it be? Ela mishum dishmata boitziluta. To learn a halacha, you need a clear mind. How clear a mind? Kiyoma de istina, like a crystal clear day. The Masoros HaShasri explains that istina, it means like a northern wind that clears off all the clouds, right? So in other words, we didn't go in to get out of the rain, right? We got in because you can't. It's not possible to like learn what we were learning already standing outside in the rain. Right? We weren't trying to get out away. It's like this very fine distinction. It's not that we were trying to get away from the rain. We just needed a dry place.
Well, you want to learn better.
Yes, it's really a very fine air.
They could stop learning, but they wanted to continue learning. So
right, right. So Amar le Rav Acha, Barei de Rava, le Rav Ashi, I itzterich le Inish, le Mikre Gavra, mi Beit Kanishta, my, this is your question. You need to call somebody from the shul. Right? Somebody's in shul, you need to call them out. So how do you do that? You can't just go in and get him because you have no recourse to walk into a shul except for davening. But why are you going to the shul? You're going to the shul because you have to pull somebody out.
You're going to pull them out. You say, I'm supposed to go up the hill.
So Omar Lay, you think it's that simple?
No.
You think it's that simple?
It would be nice if it was.
Omar le, itzurba mirabanan hu, have a lema hu, lema ilchasa. If he's a Talmud Chacham, so he should go in and he should learn halach. It's halach. V'itana hu, lema midnight, matnitin. And if he's a Tana, what does it mean to be a Tana?
Who memorizes the Mishnah?
Somebody who knows the Mishnah. So you say a Mishnah. V'ikrahu, lema psuke. And if he's a one of those Chidon HaTanach people, they go and say a posuk. The ilav, and if he doesn't even have that, lema le liinuka, ema li psukecha. Tell me your posuk. You know, this is a Chazal of this idea. There's a kind of very low level baskol, a very low level prophetic thing. You like turn to any school kid and say, tell me your posuk. Like, what posuk did you learn today? The Chazal have it. It's all over the Gemara. And the kid says what Pusik is up to, and they say, see, it's like proof. It's like the, you know, kind of like a Goral Hagra type thing, you know, where you like randomly point to a Pusik and it's somehow indicating some hidden message. So you don't know the Halacha, and you don't know a Mishnah, and you don't even know a Pusik, but you tell a kid, say me a Pusik. So the kid says a Pusik, and it's the point is you don't go in stam. There's always like some kind of engagement with Torah. So inami, so ina what?
Almost like
Igrot HaKodesh. Oh yeah, yeah. So inami, nishnei purta v'nikum. Right, and if you don't even have that, so what should you do? You should just sit there for a minute. Right, you should just sit there for a minute, breathe the air of the Beit Knesset. And then you can leave. So how does that solve the problem? In other words,
we're just getting quickly out of there. You're showing you're not just running through.
If you learn a halacha or a mishnah or a posuk, or you hear a posuk, you have a little kid. You're such an amaretz that you need like a school kid to teach you a posuk, right? So lefachot there's like some Torah going on, and that Torah that's going on is the hechsher for you going in for some ulterior motive, which on its own you shouldn't do. But if you can't even do that, so you just sit there. So what's that? So look at Rashi says
no.
What's that, Rashi? That's Rashi. But I think, what does it mean? It means that what's the kiyum? What is it like? Just sitting in the shul for a moment. What religious value does that fulfill?
Ashrei
Yosheh Veisachon. Right. That is just the etzem being in shul has some religious value. Right. And Rabbi Riskin always tells those stories about the early days of Lincoln Square when it was in the apartment. Like, people would come in for all variety of reasons, and they wouldn't daven. And they would say they don't know how to daven, or this, that, and other thing, right? And you know, even if they were there, they're doing all types of other things, you know, but just the value of being in synagogue is, you know, is a positive.
And this applies to those that go to Harbite and can't actually daven, but they can at least be in the pain.
If you're into that, presumably, yes. When it said earlier that Bate Knesset Shebabovel al Tanai hein asuyin, so does that mean that the synagogues in Eretz Yisrael are not or cannot be built on Tanai, al Tanai?
What
government's
going to
destroy Beit Knesset?
No one's going to come out. No one forcefully on purpose is going to come by.
It's never happened that the synagogue was destroyed in the land of Israel.
No, but not like from the government on purpose. Okay, maybe it happened.
Not this present government.
Didn't they leave the Beit Knesset complete?
They did.
They didn't destroy them.
But only because they were sensitive to this. So either the Gemara is talking, is just giving a factual, that this was the practice in Babel. That doesn't mean that it's also in Eretz Yisrael, which we hope is not the case, because this is what we've done in many of our synagogues, or our Rav Tachlitis. I came to live in Efrat, 1987. I didn't know who Rabbi Tachliti was.
Did you know who Rav Chaim was?
There was a Rav Chaim.
The movie theater was named after him.
The brother.
There's the Rehov Rav Chaim. No, there was a Rav Chaim. I don't know if that's what the movie theater is named after, but there's Kiryat Shmuel off of Rehov HaTayasim. There's a small street called Rehov Rav Chaim. I don't know who he was though. Yeah, Lani was in Bar Ilan. She didn't know who Rav Campos was.
So
it was Rav Chaim. Somebody will look it up and send it to me. So, but what's the question? Is what does it mean if you make a Tanai? If you make a Tanai, does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, al tanai al manat shiyishtamshu bahen. You make a tanai, you say, look, it looks like a synagogue, it smells like a synagogue, it has an aron and it has an ertomid and it has a bima and etc., but really it's a rav tachliti, which means we can have the Purim spiel here, which means we can have, I don't know, asefat chaverim, we can have all types of things, bar mitzvahs, whatnot. Tosfos doesn't agree with that. Tosfos says the Tanai means that after it's destroyed, you don't have to be makpid on all of the halachot in the Mishnah and the Braisa. Now, the Mishnah and the Braisa catalogs all of the things that you can't do in a synagogue, even when it's knocked down, because some kedusha remains. So if you built it al Tanai, then it has kedusha kol od that it's really functioning as a synagogue. Once it's knocked down, so then you don't have to be makbet on those things. So we apparently do not follow Shitas HaTosfos, because Shitas HaTosfos would mean that there's no such thing as a Rav Tachliti.
Not necessarily.
Why?
Because according to Tosfos, you can have a Rav Tachliti, but if the majority of what you're doing there is a Beit Knesset, so that crucial, the Beit Knesset trumps everything else. If you tell me it's a Rav Tachliti, and you know, like it uses a Rav Tachliti, so I'm allowed tzmachot. But once a year, we use it for the davening of Rosh Hashanah.
That's obviously something else. But here, where you have a place, you know, your synagogue, 95% of the activity in that synagogue is davening, right? Nobody would walk into there and pretend and imagine that this is anything else. This is not like it's not like Zemer Zayit. Right? Which meet me.